Kate can still feel his touch on her skin. He only held her hand. No, less than that. He put his hand over hers just for a few seconds. Nothing in the grand scheme of things. A comforting gesture because she was upset, that was all, she tells herself. A few days ago, he'd walked into the break room at work just as she'd hung up on Mart after yet another argument. He'd seen she was crying and he'd held her hand. A totally normal thing between colleagues. No, friends. Since then, she's thought about that moment, their moment, a lot. It felt exciting, and she hasn't felt excitement for what seems like forever. She liked the feeling. A part of her wants to feel it again. She refuses to feel guilty about it. She's almost at the flat now. She looks up at the first floor out of habit, expecting to see darkness. But there is a soft glow behind the curtains, a light on inside. She frowns. Wasn't Mark working tonight? She's sure he'd said he had a late set at the club. Wasn't that why he'd waved away her excuses for doing overtime on the late shift? Hadn't he said he didn't care? Setting the two jute bags of groceries down on the step, she fumbles in her jacket pocket for her keys. Her hands are numb from the cold and it takes her a couple of attempts to grasp them. She adds buy gloves to her mental to-do list. The folks back home had told her it never got properly cold in central London. Now, in the middle of the dark, rainy November, Kate knows they were talking bollocks. She unlocks the door, picks up the bags, and pushes the door open with her shoulder. As it closes behind her, the automatic light in the communal hallway comes on. She blinks at the brightness reflected back from the cerise-painted walls, sidesteps around the upstairs neighbour's bike, and heads towards the stairs. Glancing at the stacks of mail on the tatty side table as she passes, she spots a pile for her and Mart. "Fuck's sake," Kate mutters, snatching it up. "Do I have to do everything?" She leafs through the envelopes, two bills and a piece of junk mail, plus what looks like a credit card statement for Mart with final demand stamped in angry red across the top of the envelope. She sighs, shakes her head. He really is crap with money. Tucking the post under her arm, she picks up her bags and trudges towards the stairs. She starts working out how much cash she's got stashed away across her savings accounts, the one he knows about and the other two. No matter what her mum tells her about Mark being a rubbish freeloader and that she deserves better, Kate has always bailed him out. She knows he thinks she will again. But that would mean she can't have that holiday in Dubai she's been saving for. The thought of having to stay in cold, damp London all winter pisses her off even more. The bags feel heavier, her legs more tired. She tries to remember if there is any wine in the fridge. She has a horrible feeling the answer is no. Sod it. She won't bail him out again. She's going to Dubai with Eva. Reaching the door to the flat, she drops the bags again and undoes the lock. Pushing the bags inside with her foot, she enters and closes the door behind her, calling, "Hey, Ma, I'm back." No reply. "Great," she thinks, hoisting up the bags again. "Don't tell me, will you?" Since they've been living together, he's treated her more like his mum or housekeeper than his girlfriend. When they first moved in, they split all the chores down the middle. He cleaned and shopped, she cooked and did the ironing. Now he's always too busy with his music, the implication being that what she does is less important, that he thinks she is less important. Kate pushes open the door into the living area, halts a few steps inside. The corner lamp is on, the low lighting giving the place a dusky haze. Two glasses of red wine are sitting on the glass top of the coffee table. There's music playing over Mart's high-end speakers, some ballad from the 80s that she vaguely recognises as one her dad likes. Not Mart's usual kind of tune, but maybe he's trying to be retro and romantic. It's been a while since he made that kind of effort. The sweet love notes and surprise gifts of their early days are long in the past. "Mart?" she says. "Nothing." She puts the bags down and takes a few more steps into the room. Listens hard, but can't hear him. "Mart, where are you?" Still nothing. Kate moves forward to the coffee table and picks up a glass. Takes a sip of wine. It's the good stuff. Delicious. She needs it after doing a double shift. Needs it to help her forget the hand-holding and remind herself not to feel guilty, more guilty. She takes another sip and glances around the room again. That's when she notices the red splodges on the carpet near the bedroom door. The door is ajar, a chink of light visible through the gap. As she draws closer, she recognizes what the splodges are. Her heartbeat quickens. Guilt tightens in her chest. This is big, unexpected. Kate stares at the rose petals scattered around the entrance to the bedroom and wonders what got into Mart to go for such a grand gesture. Whatever's caused it, it's about time. She'd been thinking the relationship was on its way out. But if he's making this amount of effort, maybe they still have a chance. Mart, she says, her tone soft, playful. The bedroom door opens halfway. Kate gasps. The cream duvet on their bed is strewn with rose petals. Candles encircle the iron bedstead in flickering light. Mart, it's beautiful! She steps onto the threshold, transfixed. Remembers the good times. Sharing candlelit baths, talking for hours about anything and everything. Mart is the guy for her. This proves it. She wonders if he's about to propose. Kate takes another pace forward. This is amazing! Where did you... The lights cut out.